Okay, let's unpack this. We're looking at a really foundational document today, aren't we? June 2006, detailing the Municipal Infrastructure Grant, or MIG. That's quite technical.
It is. Very dense stuff.
So our mission for this deep dive is basically to cut through that complexity. We want to pull out the core structure, the objectives, and importantly, the conditions tied to this grant. It was fundamental for funding basic services.
Absolutely. And you have to remember, this wasn't just some abstract policy paper. It was specifically designed as, a working document. The goal was literally stated as create conformity and regulate the MIG program management.
Conformity, right.
And crucially, it's a conditional grant. That means the money came with serious strings attached, quite different from the normal equitable share funding municipalities get.
Okay, so let's start with those core principles. What was non-negotiable? I see the first one is a strict focus on infrastructure for a basic level of service.
Exactly. We're talking absolute necessities here. Water, sanitation, basic roads, not the fancy stuff.
And that leads straight into the second point, right?
Yeah.
Explicitly targeting the poor.
Yes, that was vital. The whole structure was geared towards closing that historical infrastructure gap, directing funds strategically to marginalized communities. It was about equitable access, fundamentally.
Now, here's something that maybe stands out a bit more. It wasn't just about pipes and roads. There was this third principle about maximizing economic benefits.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. The grant actually mandated linking the infrastructure spending to job creation, specifically through the Expanded Public Works Program, the EPWP.
So building a clinic wasn't just about the clinic itself.
Precisely. It was also about how it was built using local labor, developing local enterprises. The spending itself was meant to be an economic injection for that community.
Okay, so if we step back, the main objectives were funding the capital costs, the initial big investment for basic services for the poor, and doing it in a coordinated way.
Yes, coordination was key. Trying to avoid different government departments throwing money around without talking to each other, a single regulated channel.
Right. Now let's get into the who and how, the institutional structure. You mentioned devolution.
Yeah, that was a core idea. Push the responsibility down, right down to the municipal level.
How did that work practically?
Usually through these things called project management units, or PMUs, set up within the municipalities.
And the PMUs did what exactly?
Pretty much everything on the ground. Financial admin, identifying projects, and crucially, those projects had to link directly back to the municipality's overall integrated development plan, the IDP.
The IDP link, okay.
And then they managed the implementation too, like handling contracts and overseeing construction. They were the local engines for the grant.
So lots of local responsibility.
Mm.
But how did the national government keep track? How did they ensure the money was used properly?
Through very tight controls and conditions, there was a whole project life cycle built in. Identification based on need and the IDP, then prioritization, registration, then you could get to design and tender.
And the biggest rule?
The absolute cross-cutting condition. You couldn't spend a cent of MIG money outside the framework of that municipality's existing approved IDP and budget. No pet projects.
The strong clamp.
Definitely. And the grant could generally only be used for capital investment. There was a small percentage allowed for running the PMU itself, but the bulk had to go into building things.
And monitoring. How did they check progress?
Rigorous reporting. The Division of Revenue Act, DORA, mandated monthly spending reports. Plus, the PMUs had to submit quarterly reports with key performance indicators.
APIs, right.
And the National MIG Management Unit used those KPI reports to track everything, progress, compliance, you name it.
Did the system have teeth if things went wrong?
Oh, yes. The framework laid out clear procedures for withholding funds or even stopping payments completely if a municipality wasn't performing or complying.
What counted as non-performance?
Underspending was a big one. If a municipality spent less than 60% of the money they'd already received in a previous transfer, that could trigger intervention. It was actually defined as financial misconduct. They could literally turn off the tap.
Wow. Okay. Quite a complex framework then.
Extremely. Lots of checks and balances built in.
So here's something to leave you, the listener, thinking about. Given the MIG's strong focus was on funding the capital costs, the upfront building costs.
Right.
What mechanisms are really crucial to make sure the infrastructure lasts, especially when the municipalities themselves are required to budget for ongoing operation and maintenance from their own funds? How do you ensure that sustainability decades down the line? That's our deep dive for today.